They thought, well, you know, maybe we really have to believe in Philip in order for this to work. And as soon as they believed in Philip, that table began to make noises, began to answer the questions, began to correct the history that they had made up about Philip. And then the table began to tip, and then it began to rise. And they've got a documentary film. They had to chase this table as it flew around the room. Now they thought that this somehow they triggered something in their subconscious. You cannot explain that from the subconscious. Here are materialistic scientists, and they're being led by a ring in their nose, by deceiving spirits. This is just part of what's going on in the world, and we're running out of time. But I want to just mention a few other things here. Holistic medicine it sounds good. We want to deal with the whole man, not just treat the body, but the mind, the soul, the spirit. The problem is that these people do not have the biblical concept of soul and spirit and of God, but they have an Eastern mystical concept. And this is happening across the country. I could tell you of prominent medical scientists who have developed psychic powers. They can now see into a body without x-ray machines. They can diagnose patients over the phone. Medical science is moving into the occult. I was having breakfast with a leading lawyer in West Palm Beach some time ago, and when he learned that I was doing research in this area, he said, "Let me ask you a question." I was at this cocktail party the other night, and I was standing there talking to Dr. So-and-so. He named one of the top nuclear scientists in the world, and who had just come out with a fantastic invention that is being used in some of our top research around the country. And so the lawyer said, I asked him, where do you get these ideas? And he said, well, from the university that I attend at night. And the lawyer said, I looked at him and I said, well, what do you mean, you go to night school? And the scientist said, well, I don't know what you would call it that, but very often after I fall asleep at night, I awaken out in space in the company of other top scientists, and we're being taught advanced concepts by spirit beings. And this is where we get some of these ideas. And the lawyer looked at me and said, was he drunk, or was he pulling my leg, or have you heard anything like this? And I said, you better believe it. It's happening to increasing numbers of our scientists. It's part of this consciousness revolution that happened to Edgar Mitchell, that happened to Willis Harmon, that's happening to our top scientists, moving into the occult in medicine. And I'm going to have to jump. I have some really fascinating things to tell you about medicine, but we're going to have to go on from that. Last year, where I come from in Los Angeles, one of our top hospitals, Santa Monica Hospital, on the bulletin board you would have seen advertisements for courses in Kundalini Yoga, taught by top medical scientists from around the world, funded and sponsored by Swami Muktananda Siddha Yoga Institute, for which registered nurses would receive 11 hours continuing education credit from the California State Board of Registered Nurses. Of course, they were not told that Kundalini is what? The serpent goddess coiled at the base of the spine that springs forth, etc., etc. They were being led right into straight occultism in the name of science, medical science, for continuing education credit, and I could go down the line and name you a whole lot more of this. Now, what holistic is to medicine, confluent is to education. I don't know whether confluent education has gotten way out here in Iowa, but I can tell you that it's a big thing in the Los Angeles public school systems. One of the main pushers of confluent education is Dr. Beverly Galliane. She has two federal grants. And just, I can't go into the details that I wanted to tell you about, but just the bottom line is that in confluent education, she is training teachers to train first graders to contact spirit guides. But of course, she says, we don't call it that in the public schools. We call them imaginary guides. Teaching the children that they are God, that they have infinite potential, and to get in touch with the source of infinite wisdom and power that resides within each one of them. This confluent education The big thing in the public schools being backed by federal and state funds. We could talk about movies. Star Wars, I wanted to say just a little bit about. Star Wars is a pure witchcraft film. Now, I've offended some of you Star Wars fans. I took this fellow, Ravi Maharaj, this ex-guru that you saw in the film last night, I took him to see Star Wars. He happened to be in the United States. We went to see it when it first came out, and we just sat there poking one another. Man, look at that. Wow. I mean, look at that. Why do I say it's a pure witchcraft film? First of all, it's based upon the Force. Remember, that's Satan's number one lie to Eve in the Garden of Eden, that God's not personal, but he's a Force. The witches worship the Force. The Force has a dark side and a light side. That's black magic and white magic. Any honest witch, if you can find one, will tell you that there's not a particle of difference between black magic and white magic. They both come from the same source. How do you get into the occult? What's the doorway into the occult? I explained to you sorcery and altered state of consciousness. How did Obi-Wan Kenobi teach Luke Skywalker to work the laser sword? He put a visor over his face so he couldn't see. He said, Luke, you're trying to think. You've got to tune out your mind and let the Force take over, right? An altered state of consciousness, initiating him into the occult. What happened when Obi-Wan died? He began to communicate from the other side. Spirit survival, spirit communication. Now, when you got to The Empire Strikes Back, you're being led into really heavy-duty occultism. Who is Yoda? Yoda is a yogi. He's teaching yoga to Luke. He's got Luke standing on his head, going through various contortions in order to develop the mind powers to lift his spaceship out of the swamp with his mind, right? Now, I can give you another connection. You know anything about operas? You know who Mephistopheles is, Faust. Dr. Faust sold his soul to this little devil, Mephistopheles. And if you've ever seen a picture of Mephistopheles, he looks very much like Yoda. When Luke went into the cave, what did Yoda say to Luke? Luke was going to take his laser sword. Maybe none of you ever saw Star Wars or Empire Strikes Back. I think some of you did. What did Yoda say to Luke? He said, Luke, you don't need your laser sword. What did he say? All you need is within you, right? And when he met Darth Vader, and he cut off Darth Vader's head, and it rolled down, and he opened the visor, and he saw his own head. Most powerful presentation of Eastern mysticism. The Beatles sang it, I am you, and you are me, and he is she, and all is one. And George Lucas is quoted by Time magazine as saying that he believes in the Force. These films are his vehicle for spreading his occult philosophy to the world. And yet we've got Christians who will say Jesus is the real Force. You could go in your Christian bookstore and buy a book called The Force of Star Wars, teaching that Jesus is the real Force. Now, if you want to create confusion, that's a good way to do it. The occultist is glad to say, oh, you think Jesus is the Force? Well, I call the Force something else. Well, what does it matter? You call him Jesus, I call him something else. We believe in the same thing. Jesus is not a Force. God is not a Force. That's an insult to God. God is personal, not impersonal. So there's a tremendous thing that's happening in the world. We could talk about, boy, wow, time is gone, but how can I get out of here without saying a word about some popular games such as Dungeons and Dragons? Well, you can get games to teach you how to get into witchcraft, how to work spells, how to have seances. Dungeons and Dragons is very popular among Christian young people. The main ingredient required, according to the inventor of Dungeons and Dragons, is time. And you'll find Christian young people spending hour after hour after hour after hour. What does it involve? It's a fantasy role-playing game. It involves sorcery. It involves spells. It involves little demons, evil creatures. It obsesses a person's mind. An Associated Press reporter interviewed a young woman who had been involved in Mystigar, a Dungeons and Dragons game. And after interviewing her, she said, Mystigar is a world so seductive in its power that Miss White, this young lady she interviewed, and her friends rarely leave it behind. And Miss White admitted, "I tried to stop the world, this game, but it refused to stop." A veteran dungeon master recently confessed, quote, "The make-believe world assumes an eerie sense of reality." Some police now ask a standard question. He's going to throw me off the platform here. Sorry. Okay. Oh, my goodness. He's giving me a little more time. Okay. I thought I was going to be wrestled off of here. Some police now ask a standard question when they arrest young people. Are you involved in fantasy role-playing games? The co-creator of Dungeons & Dragons has said, quote, "Swords and sorcery best describe what this game is all about. This is a world where monsters, dragons, good and evil, high priests, fierce demons, and even the gods themselves may enter your character's life, casting spells, divination, communion with gods, death and resurrection are all part of this, the imaginary activities that players participate in." Well, you say, but it's just make-believe. It's just fantasy, so it doesn't really matter. Okay, a former dungeon master who really is very much against Dungeons and Dragons now explains that by an experience out of his own life. When he was in high school, he said, some friends and I involved ourselves in a make-believe seance. We were just going to pretend that we were communicating with spirits. And he said, suddenly in the midst of this seance, the make-believe medium, who happened to be a Jewish boy, was taken over. He began to choke and convulse. Another voice came out of him. And this young man, for 2 years, was on the verge of suicide. He haunted graveyards. And it was only by the grace of God that a Christian won him to Christ and delivered him from demonic possession through Jesus Christ. It was make-believe. It all began as make-believe. But you just open the door. You just play Satan's games. And you're opening the door for him. Well, now that I've got another few minutes, I want to mention something that I wanted to mention to you. Going back to holistic medicine for a moment. We have a man in I don't know whether I had Dr. Irving Lowell. Did I have Dr. Irving Lowell written down here somewhere? I didn't, but Dr. Irving Oil, he's an MD at the University of California at Santa Cruz. He teaches a course in contacting your ally, he calls it. Now, this is in medical school, and this is also in university to students who are taking psychology courses. Dr. Oil is consulted by medical doctors who have difficult cases that they cannot explain and they cannot treat, and they send them to him. How does he treat these cases? He has taught this to as many as 1,500 students at once at UCLA. He teaches you, first of all, breathing exercise, like yoga, to go into an altered state of consciousness. You remember what that does now. And you will find yourself in a beautiful landscape, and he says you will be approached by some creature. It could be animal, fish, bird, human. Trust it. That's your ally. That's your friend. And eventually, it will manifest a deliverance for you from whatever your problem is. Let me give you one case, a true case history of a young woman who had a burning in her pelvis. She's been examined by many doctors. No one could find the cause nor cure it. She was sent to Dr. Oil. He trained her to go into this altered state of consciousness. And here's the story that she told him. She said she found herself in a beautiful landscape. She was approached by a coyote. A coyote is very often an occult symbol. And the coyote spoke to her and told her that it would help her. And she flipped into another dimension. And she found herself around a campfire. She was bound hand and foot. There were hostile Indians who were dancing wildly. She was raped and murdered, and then she awakened back in her room, and the burning in her pelvis was gone. Ah, it was something she had experienced in a prior life.
And now, having relived that experience, she was delivered from it. But it worked. It happened. You're going to either have to find a psychological explanation or a spiritual explanation. And I believe that there's a spiritual explanation. Our scientists, some of our top psychiatrists, we're going to talk a lot more about psychology in the next hour, have been led to believe in reincarnation because of their experiences with drug addicts and regressing people back into prior lives and so forth. We could talk more about rock music. A lot of attention has been given lately to backward masking of rock albums. I'm not sure what the significance of backward masking really is. You just have to play these songs forwards. And they are demonic enough. Horrible. Just look at the album covers. The occult symbolism. The perversion. I don't think you, as Christian young people, ought to spend a dime supporting people like this. I have a friend who has been involved very deeply in the rock movement and who has told me, I mean, I've got a number of friends who've told me things like this. This one particular friend says, for the past 20 years, rock music has been a device to draw American youth into the occult. He estimates that about 80% of those who regularly buy rock and roll albums are in their early teens, between 11 and 15. The influence is growing. At one rock concert in the Los Angeles Forum, the rock group lit black candles on a satanic altar, began chanting Beelzebub, Beelzebub, a name for Satan, of course, and soon 33,000 young people were screaming Beelzebub. For about 10 minutes, this went on in a frenzy. The group Black Sabbath held an altar call to Satan in Canada, at least one altar call. The lyrics are blatantly gross, satanically sexual, unrepeatable to an audience like this. The Dead Kennedys, a popular punk group, have a song called I Kill Children. It begins, He, my God, told me to skin you alive. It goes on to say, I kill children, love to watch them die. I kill children, make their mamas cry. I squash them in my car, love to hear them scream. Feed them poison candy to spoil their Halloween. This is a popular song on radio across America today. What depths have we sunk to? It's well known that big rock groups are heavily into black magic and Satanism, and to emulate them, garage bands are reading up on the occult, getting into black magic themselves. Some of the rock groups, we know this firsthand, although they will deny it publicly, hold a black mass before going out on the stage to get the blessing of Satan. Some of them go out of body, they think, through the audience, whispering in the ears. Led Zeppelin admits they're into black magic, and they use it in their performances. Jimmy Page calls himself a sorcerer. Many parents, all they know about rock music is the loud noise. But I think that, of course, I'm talking mostly to young people now. And I don't know how much you're involved in this, but I would certainly say to parents, you ought to sit down with your kids and read the lyrics and look at the albums and see whether this ought to be in a Christian home. And you young people ought to seriously ask the Lord whether you should be involved. I don't know to what extent any of you are in supporting this sort of thing and involved in this. Now, there is a beat. I'm not an expert on music, so I'm not trying to tell you what is hard rock or acid rock or soft rock or country or folk or what, but there is a beat, there is a noise, there is a vibration that tunes you out into an altered state of consciousness and makes you again susceptible for the demonic influences that come through this. It's very interesting. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. We'll just turn to a couple of scriptures before we close. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Where I believe we are given the religion of the Antichrist. Verse 3, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, an apostasy, a rebellion against God. I believe we're in the throes of this in America and in our world. And that man of sin or lawlessness be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth, now notice this verse very carefully, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He sounds like he's a very irreligious character. He's against all concept of God. Anything that's worshipped, he throws it out. So you say he's irreligious. No. So that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the path that we're taking in America today, in the Western world, and throughout the world. Showing ourselves that we are God. The whole human potential movement. The human potential movement claims that human potential is infinite. To be infinite, you must be God. You're indwelt by an infinite source of potential, of wisdom, and of power. Although I believe this has its primary application in the Antichrist sitting in the temple that will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, yet the Word of God tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that it also depicts for us the human being looking within himself to find God, to discover his real self, his higher self, and in discovering that, discovering God, because he is God. And I can tell you that this is the philosophy that is sweeping across America today. It's taking over in our universities, in our grammar schools, our scientists, our psychologists, the health, education, and welfare people. This is, in fact, the official religion of the United States of America today. And I believe that as Christians, we ought to know this, we ought to be alert to it, and we ought to oppose it. We should stand up and oppose, and we should point out what is religion. And if you're not going to have Christianity in the schools, then let's not have this. This is a religion. And Dr. Beverly Galyane, that I mentioned to you earlier, she admits that this is a religious philosophy, and that her belief that we are God and that we have infinite potential and that we can get in touch with these spirit guides, that is the foundation of confluent education, which she teaches and which is being taught in the Los Angeles public schools, and I know in other places as well, and that this is being backed by federal and state funds. Well, I think you see it right here. And I think we ought to warn our friends what this chapter goes on to say. Verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. This is after the rapture, after we're taken out of this world, after whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's psychic power. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. This is the lie of Satan that he destroyed the human race with in the Garden of Eden. And this is the lie that humanity is accepting today as Babylon, Babel, is being revived in our very society. And I think we ought to understand this, and we ought to confront it and stand against it. Now if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse verse 1, this know also that in the last days dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self. Again, we're going to talk about this more in the next hour, and I may make some enemies. We're going to talk about self-love that we're being taught. Christians are being taught today that you can't love God or neighbor until, first of all, you love yourself. You're being taught to love self, to develop self-esteem, etc. Well, you come back and hear what we have to say about that. But I believe it's a fulfillment of Scripture. They will be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, and so forth. Having a form, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Who are Jannes and Jambres? Well, most Bible scholars, I think, agree that these were probably the names of the Pharaoh's magicians who withstood Moses in Pharaoh's court. Very interesting that the Spirit of God led Paul to use them as an illustration of the opposition to God that there would be in the last days. Who would think that in the last days, a day of the space age of modern science, that opposition to Christ would come about through magicians like Jannes and Jambres? And yet this is exactly what it tells us will be the character, the nature of the resistance to the Spirit of God in the last days. 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us that they will give heed to doctrines of devils and demons, seducing spirits, that the false teaching, and we should turn to that, verse 1, 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. We'll talk more about that tomorrow morning. What's the difference between faith and the faith? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrine implies a plan, a definite strategy involving a particular deception with a master mind behind it. And this is exactly what we're seeing in the world, and this is exactly what was foretold. And then the counterfeit miracles that we've already talked about that will convince people that a new age is being ushered in, a consciousness revolution. It involves some of the groups that you might not think it involves. I don't know if any of you noticed, I just happen to have this fell out of my notes here, but here is General Dozier, you remember? And you remember the picture that the Red Brigade showed of him? Did anybody notice what it had behind his head? That's the pentagram of witchcraft. Now, these are supposed to be political, a political movement. But why did they draw the pentagram of witchcraft behind them? They're involved in the occult. It's part of a whole satanic conspiracy. Okay, we've given you an awful lot to think about. Probably boggled your mind, and maybe you have some questions at this point. I understand we've got a few more minutes for questions, so anybody? Yes.
I read this book called Occult Shock and Psychic Forces.
Mm-hmm.
In there, you read the book?
Yes, I know John Weldon. Uh-huh. Well, I didn't read that part. I kind of skimmed the book. I doubt that they would have been condemning all chiropractic. But it is true that, and I don't know what they said in that book. It is true that Dr. Palmer believed in the force, that there is a force within the human body, and that this is what chiropractic, according to him, was designed to do, was to release this force so that it could heal the body. there are a lot of things involved in chiropractic and in medicine. Medical doctors are getting into acupuncture, acupressure. We have laboratory tests indicating that acupuncture only works when the person believes that it will work. If the acupuncturist says positive things about acupuncture and arouses an expectation of healing within the person, then it works. Otherwise, it doesn't work. In other words, it's like a placebo. It works in the from the mind. It's an occult power. There have been some machines in chiropractic, anesthesiology, where supposedly electronic devices, but there were really no guts in the machine, and you used a pendulum, and it was really mind power. Iridology, I know a lot of Christians are getting into this sort of thing.